The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God, you give us your Son as the vine, apart from whom we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of one and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated.
A reading from Acts. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He replied, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before his shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, he came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is it to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 22 responsibly. From who comes my praise in the great assembly? I will perform my vows in the sight of those who I fear the Lord.
The poor shall.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nations shall bow before God.
For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations.
Indeed, all who sleep in the earth shall bow down in worship. All who go down to the dust, though they need be dead, shall kneel before the Lord.
Shall
proclaim God's deliverance to the people yet unborn, saying to them, "The Lord has acted."
Glory to the Father.
Reading from 1 John. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the anointing sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is his Son, is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and for those who abide in love, abide in God, and God abides in them. Love is perfected among us in this: that we may have boldness on the day of the judgment, because he, as he is, so are we in this world. There is no love, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached the perfection of love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love their brothers and sisters, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to John. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. The Gospel of the Lord.
And
on this vine and branches text, the word abide is used 8 times in this one little paragraph from the Gospel of John. And that word, abide, was Don Snowden's favorite word, favorite biblical word. I don't know if he had a favorite word outside the Bible, but that was his favorite Bible word. And that theme was, that word was the theme of his memorial service. I can't read this passage without thinking of Don Snowden. That word abide is such an old-fashioned word. We don't see hotel advertisements that encourage us to abide with us tonight. And when you fill out a form, we're not asked the question, please tell us where you abide. We're usually asked for our address. And that word abide seems to belong to another time. But I think the word abide has such depth of meaning that we need to look at that word, to abide. It means to remain, to persevere, to stay with, to continue. Maybe today we would say to hang in there, to abide. You know, no wonder that word is so rare these days, because the meaning of that word is pretty rare these days as well. It doesn't seem like our culture puts much stock in abiding. Friendships break up, treaties in nations go short-lived, business contracts are paper thin, even commitments in church, marriages, and confirmations are broken or forgotten. That's the first paragraph from Don Snowden's memorial service. But Jesus used that word, abide, when he's talking to the disciples in the upper room, when he was with them for the Last Supper on that Thursday night before his death. He knows what's going to happen, both to himself and to that little band of disciples. But they don't know. They are about to be pruned, to be cut down by his crucifixion and death. And he's assuring them in these words that it will not be useless pruning. He's assuring them that they will survive and not only survive, but even flourish. A generation later, after Jesus talked to the disciples, a generation later, when John was writing this gospel, the Christian community, the community of John the Evangelist, was being cut down too. They had already been scattered. They had been thrown out of the synagogues. They had been, in a sense, really abandoned by their Jewish community. They had plenty of reason to feel like they were being abandoned. And John writes this in such a way that it gives them assurance that even though they have been cut, that it is pruning for abundant faith and life. It was hard for them to believe, those disciples around that table, the community of John the Evangelist a generation later, it was hard for them to believe that they had not been abandoned. I think it's hard for us to believe that sometimes too. I'm thinking about the terrible earthquake in Nepal. Today I heard over 6,000 people are dead, and so many others left in dire circumstances. It looks like abandonment, but we can abide with them through our prayers and with our money. Now, you found a little folder or a little orange flyer in your bulletin this today that gives you the opportunity to know how to direct some money to Lutheran Disaster Response. And let me say one thing about Lutheran Disaster Response. 100% of your money goes to the people and the situation in Nepal. Not a cent of your contribution through Lutheran Disaster Relief goes to administration costs or business. This, all the money that is donated to Lutheran Disaster Response goes to the need, to the concern. So feel free to know that your contribution is helping the people where it is most needed. I'm thinking too about the people in Baltimore, the city of Baltimore, and the unrest that is there, and the unrest that is in so many other cities across our country. Our presiding bishop, Elizabeth Eaton, has called on Lutherans to pray for peace. Last week, she twittered, "Pray that God send us the courage and grace to come to grips with the root causes of this strife." And although she didn't use the word abide, I think that's what she is calling us to do. The program director in the ELCA for Racial Justice Ministries said that until we come to terms that we share a linked fate and our lives and communities are intertwined and inseparable, we can never achieve racial unity or harmony in this country. And so we pray. We pray for peace, we pray for justice, we pray for hope. Not only for the people in Baltimore, not only for the people who are immediately impacted by the situations there and across the country, but we pray for all people that we might have the courage to speak the truth regarding these situations that are happening in our country these days. No doubt there are situations and times in your own life closer to home where you have a feeling of being abandoned or being pruned, and often with no evidence that there is a future of fruitful growth. In the midst of earthquakes and civil uproars, in the midst of illness and family troubles, in the midst of our messy lives and all of the uncertainty and distress, Jesus invites us to abide. And really, It's beyond abiding. Jesus promises that he will not abandon us. He promises that he will cling to us as a vine clings to the branch and perseveres and is even fruitful in the midst of present difficulties. But listen to this. Jesus did not say, "Abide in me or else." If that's what Jesus had said, this would have to be a very different sermon. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, "Abide in me as I abide in you." This isn't just good advice. It isn't even a wonderful invitation. This is a promise. A promise that no matter what happens, Jesus will be with us. That no matter what happens, Jesus will hold on to us. Jesus abides, endures, holds on to us, abides in us and with us every day of our baptized life. Abiding is a place word, but it's also an action word. It's a place word in that we abide where we are gathered in Jesus' name, right here. We are gathered as the body of Christ together, and we live that truth that that Jesus abides in us and we abide in him and we abide in that together. I grew up in a family of churchgoers where it was never an option or a question about whether we would go to church or not. If anything else was planned for a Sunday, it was after church, never instead of. But today is a different day. Our culture doesn't support religion like it did 50 or 40 years ago. And I'm going out on a limb here, but I don't know that that's all bad. Today there are so many ways to be connected to the vine. For example, and let's have a show of hands, because I just want to test this out. How many of you know that we have a website where you can listen to the sermon? Some people do know that. Okay, website is www.stpetersbythesea.org. You can click on the tab that says worship, and you can read the bulletin. You can listen to the readings that were just proclaimed by Sue, and you can hear the sermon that is being proclaimed right now, and you can listen to sermons from weeks past. You can also go to our Facebook page. How many knew that St. Peter's has a Facebook page where you can look and see pictures of what's going on in the church? Look later on today and you'll see pictures of what our confirmation class was doing today. Because there's a piece of our class that's going to be photographed, and we will talk about where God is. And so if you want to know where God is, according to the 13-year-olds, then you can look at our Facebook today and find out where God is. Of course, those ways of being connected don't put you in community, and you're really missing out on something about being the body of Christ together. But abiding does look different today than a generation ago. It looks different than when John was writing that gospel for the early church community, and it looks very different from when Jesus taught his disciples and told them to abide in him. But it only looks different if we put the emphasis on us, on what we are doing, rather than on God. God's promise has not changed. God in Jesus has promised to abide in us. And that promise continues. in all seasons of our lives, in all generations of the world. Jesus is abiding in us, and we in him, in our ups and downs, in our hopes and disappointments, in our faults and failings of our lives. This is a promise. I am the true vine. Abide in me as I abide in you. That was Don Snowden's favorite word. And I think that word and that promise secured can be the favorite for all of us. I am the vine. Abide in me as I abide in you. Amen.